So the last couple of days we've been looking at 2 Peter. In Peter's second letter, in that first chapter, we were looking at verses 3 and 4. And just as a quick summary, verses 3 and 4 talk to us about the divine power of God that he has bestowed upon us. And it's his divine power that is bestowed upon us that meets all of our needs. Or as it says in the King James, according to his divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Everything that we need for this life, and everything that we need to live godly lives, everything we need in our lives, and everything that we need so that we can live as his children, live as his disciples of today, live fulfilling what he has for our lives, accomplishing his goals through our lives. Everything that we need for our lives today, whether it's health, whether it's your job, your emotions, everything that you have need of, his divine power has been bestowed upon us. And verse number 4 talks about how those are backed by the fact that he's bestowed upon us his precious, exceedingly great promises, which do deliver us. Through those things we escape the moral decay, the rottenness of this world. So in other words, all of those things in your life that are contrary to the promises of Jesus Christ, all the things in your life that are contrary to this word and the promises, he has given you the divine, his divine power bestowed upon you, backed by those divine promises, to see his faithfulness and his victories in your life. So we looked at that, and those two verses are kind of the foundation, because what we see Peter doing in verses 5, 6, 7, and 8 is kind of layering upon that. He's building upon that. And he's building upon that the things that as we grow, as we learn, these are the things that we develop. And we layer this development, this growth, we layer it one upon another, building us to the place where we are able to lay hold of and possess and consistently be set aside, sanctified, set aside for him so that we can accomplish in our lives the things that Jesus has ordained for us to do, so that we can move forward in Jesus Christ and advance the kingdom in the ways that he has designed, prepared us, and established us to advance his kingdom. You know, we look at the Bible, and so many times we read the promises. And don't get me wrong, if you've listened for the 5+ years I've been doing this, I believe in the promises, and I believe those promises are true for us. I believe that the promises of Jesus Christ are for our benefit, so that we walk in victory. I believe that. But it's not enough just to look at those promises and say, this is all for me. It is for us. But it's not just for me to consume all those things upon myself so that I walk in all of those things. They are for me. Thank you, Jesus. He does that out of his love for me. But it's also so that I'm able to, as an overcomer, and as one who is strengthened in him and knows his word, I'm then able to accomplish his will. I'm able to do the things that he wants me to do. And this is, nothing gives you a greater sense of accomplishment, fulfillment, and contentment in life than when you are fulfilling what God has created you to do and what he has destined for you to do in your life. I can spend my life simply reaping in all the benefits of all of his promises, and thank you, Jesus, for all of them. I do want to experience them all. But the real fulfillment comes not just in having those things, but in the growth of those things, being able to advance his kingdom, to be the man of God that he wants me to be. And he has plans for each one of us to be the man, the woman of God that he's called us to be, respectively. So what Peter's doing is he tells us, here's the foundation. Because we want to be able to lay hold of and possess all of those promises, all of that divine power to meet all the needs that we have in our lives, to meet our needs so we walk in his blessing and his goodness, but also so that through that we can advance his kingdom. We can do the things he's called us to do. So he gives us those foundations. Verses 3 and 4 lay down the foundation. If you're going to have a building, you've got to have the foundation first. And then once that foundation is there, then you can start to frame out the building. Then you can add the electrical and the plumbing and the insulation and the drywall and then all the finishing things and the roof. But you have to start with the foundation. So Peter gives us the foundation in verses 3 and 4. And the foundation says, his divine power has bestowed upon us all things that are required, suited to this life, and to the full personal knowledge of him who called us by and to his own glory and excellence. Here's the second part of that foundation. By means of these, he's bestowed upon us his precious and exceedingly great promises, so that you may escape from all the things of this world, all the things of this natural world, that we walk in victory. That is the foundation. You have to believe those two things. You have to believe that God has bestowed upon us his divine power to meet all of our needs, and that though that divine power and all those needs be met is backed by his exceedingly precious promises for us. That's the foundation. Now, if you believe that, you don't just say it, but you believe it. You believe that God, his divine power, is present, available, and at work for you, and it's backed by his and bestowed by the promises that he has. If you believe that, you've laid down the foundation. And then Peter starts to add that layering, that building, framing out of the rest of the structure, adding all the other things, the electrical, the plumbing, the roof, drywall, the finishing touches, the painting, all of that stuff. Now, we've looked at verses 4 and 5. I'll just read these to you so you have the background, and you can see the layering that takes place. I'm sorry, verses 5 and 6. For this very reason, adding diligence, diligence is spending that time in him, in the Word, with him, adding your diligence to the divine promises. So you have the promises in the foundation, now we add the diligence. Diligence with him. So you have the diligence. Employ every effort in exercising your faith. Diligence leads to that faith, which makes sense. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 tells us, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you have diligence. Diligence enables you to employ every effort to exercise your faith, to develop virtue. We have diligence. Diligence leads to faith. Faith leads to virtue. Virtue is that resolve. It's the characteristics in the nature, but it's that resolve. This is what it says, actually. It's excellence, resolve, Christian energy. We have the resolve to do excellent, to expect excellent, to walk in the excellence. So we have that virtue, and then with the virtue, that develops knowledge or intelligence. It is the knowledge, the intelligence, the insights, the wisdom that comes to us not from the world, but from God himself through the Holy Spirit. This is part of the layering. Start diligence. Add faith. Upon faith, we add virtue. Upon virtue, we've now added knowledge or wisdom, intelligence. And we started to look at this yesterday. And in exercising knowledge, we develop self-control. The more that I know Jesus Christ, the more that I know him, then the more his nature, his character, starts to become my nature and my character. I take on his character, his nature. I take on those attributes. And it's through that and through his strength that I'm able to then exercise self-control. In my own strength, in my own abilities, in my own desire to want to have self-control, I will fall short all the time. And how many of us experience this in our lives? Where you want to do something, but you can't. You can do it for a little while, but you can't sustain it. You can't maintain it. If you're addicted to alcohol or drugs in your own strength, you can try and you can have success for a period of time, but in the flesh, you can't sustain it. But self-control comes, this is part of the layering. The self-control comes when I have that foundation and I've already had the diligence. I've built that into faith. And from the faith, I've built that virtue. And from the virtue, I've built that knowledge, that wisdom, that knowing of him. And from that knowing of him, then we develop self-control. It's his. It's that character in the nature. It's his wisdom. It is him in me that provides me the ability to have that self-control. And then it goes on and develops some self-control, the way it says in the Amplified Bible. And in exercising self-control. So now I've added that layer of self-control to my life. Now as I exercise that self-control, in other words, I implement that self-control in my life, as I'm exercising self-control, I develop steadfastness. Steadfastness is that patience, that endurance, the ability to just keep moving forward. As I develop that self-control, I'm able to then develop. Because I have that self-control and I'm exercising self-control, I can now develop steadfastness. Listen, if I don't have self-control in my life, I will not be able to maintain. I will not be able to be steadfast. I will always be either off to the left or the right. People will see me having highs and lows, successes and failures. They'll see the roller coaster of my life. That's not steadfastness. As I exercise self-control, I then develop steadfastness. In other words, my life is not veering all over. I'm not experiencing the highs and the lows. I'm experiencing the steadiness. I'm steadfast. I'm moving forward. I'm not being led to the right or to the left. And as steadfastness develops, in exercising the steadfastness then, I develop the next layer, which is godliness, piety. So as I layer these things one upon another, now that I have that self-control, and now my life is not being taken to the right and the left, I'm not being led astray, I'm not having those highs and those lows, I'm steadfast, I'm steady in Him, I'm steady in the victories, I'm steady. It doesn't matter what things come to me or what life brings, I'm steady, I keep going forward, I'm steady, I keep overcoming. And in that steadiness, in exercising that steadfastness, then it's in that steadfastness I start to see the godliness, the piety. People start to look and see in your life godliness in you. They see that, and it's not you, it is the Christ in you. But in seeing that piety, in seeing that you are someone that you're not just talking about this, because the world sees plenty of people that talk about their faith. The world sees plenty of people that talk about Jesus Christ, but they live a different life. They live a life that's similar to their life in the world, as opposed to the life that they talk about. Well, it's as we have that foundation and as we go through this layering process and we build one thing upon another, and as we exercise that next layer, it develops the next thing that God has for us. So then we have that piety. Verse number 7 says, and in exercising godliness, so as you are living a pious life, you're living a life that is serving Jesus. And again, I tell you, you will not find anything in your life that is more satisfying, that gives you more contentedness. Nothing brings contentedness to your life like serving Him. So in that piousness, in that godliness, in that service towards Him, as you exercise that, you then develop brotherly affection. If you try to love someone just in your own strength, you know, we see so often in the Bible the importance of loving one another. And we surely see it continually throughout the New Testament. John in 1 John talks about this over and over again, the importance of living in that brotherly love. And that's not something you can just attain on your own. The flesh will not attain that, because the flesh will always think of self first, will always consider self first. The only way to get to that place of that brotherly love, that brotherly affection, is by having this layering and developing. And so once I have that piety, that godliness, as I exercise that, it develops brotherly affection. In other words, it just naturally comes out of me. I care more about those around me. I care more about whether I know them or not. I care more about people around me than I do me. Why? Because I know that Jesus Christ loves me and is taking care of me. And so I can spend my efforts, my time, my energies, out of a Christ-like love, reaching others. And in exercising brotherly love, develop Christian love. Can you see that layering that's taking place? Verse 8 says, for as these qualities are yours and increasingly abound in you, they will keep you from being idle or unfruitful unto the full personal knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. So we're wanting to get to the place where we can live our lives, and as we live our lives, we're living those lives being able to lay hold of His promises. Not just talking about His victories, not just talking about overcoming, not just talking about possessing all of those promises that He has for us, but actually laying hold of them and experiencing those victories in our lives. We talk about it. How do we do it? This is exactly what Peter's talking about. We lay the foundation. We first of all believe that He has bestowed upon us His divine power to meet all of our needs, and believe that these things are backed by His great, exceedingly great and precious promises for us. That's the foundation. And then begin to layer, to develop these other qualities. And here's the thing. Sometimes, you know, we feel like, well, I those things all sound good, but I've not been able to achieve those things. Well, if we have gaps in that layering, if I'm building the house, I can have the foundation. But if I try to put the drywall up before I frame out the house, the drywall's not going to, I've got a gap in my layering, in my development. The drywall is not going to be strong enough to hold everything else. And so it'll all come tumbling down. I've got to layer upon layer these things, develop these things. And as you develop and exercise each one, as you develop it, and then you put it into practice and you exercise it, you just automatically flow into the next one. And as we develop all these things, it brings us to the place where we have that full personal knowledge. Nothing is hidden from you, and you see all the truths. This is where you really get to see and experience the Holy Spirit revealing upon you, time and again, the full personal knowing of Jesus Christ, the knowledge of Him, the Messiah, the Anointed One. This is what Jesus has for us. It's what He wants for us. Again, I close this by saying, if you've got time today, and if you haven't done it the last couple of days, and if you have an Amplified Bible, it's a really good way to read this section of verses. Read just that first chapter of 2 Peter, and it's only verses 3 through 9. Read those today, and then ask yourself, have I laid that foundation? Do I believe those two principles? And if you can say yes, then start with diligence. Start that diligence of the Word of God, and begin that layering effect, building upon building, and developing so that we can walk into that full personal knowledge of Jesus Christ, knowing all things. Because as I know Him, I walk in the fullness of those promises. As I know Him, the more I know Him, the more I believe, I trust, and I walk in those things.